time he reminded his guys about his death. And this week we see a little bit of a pivot from this, talking to Zacchaeus. This passage, there's songs written about it. It's been preached a whole big bunch. So it might be something where you're like, yeah, we all know the story of Zacchaeus. It's a great one. I can't wait to hear it. Awesome. You're in for a treat because that's what we're going to talk about. But hopefully we'll be challenged a little bit about the depth of this meeting between Zacchaeus and Jesus and why it's so interesting in context. So with that, if you've got your Bibles, we'll be in Luke 19, 1 through 10. It'll be on screen if you don't have a Bible, but feel free to read along. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray. Lord, as we read a perhaps familiar story to us, or maybe it's a story that we've heard the name, but we're not familiar with it at all, Lord, I pray we're able to look at this with fresh eyes today, Lord. I pray that we're able to focus on you, allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does, not get caught up, not get distracted, but take this time and really spend it treasuring your word and committing ourselves to learning it better, understanding it better, wanting to be here, Lord. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for a place to do this, to study, and as iron sharpens iron, to sharpen one another. It's in your sons of my prayer. Amen. All right, hooray for the little guy. So it might be a familiar tale. It has been preached a lot. I'm going to join the fray. This is one of those passages that, like, it's at least, and I've been in church for a while, but the story of Zacchaeus, the little guy in the tree, and there's songs about this and what's going on here. It truly is a tale of salvation. There's no question about that. So I want to make it very clear, but the details are very interesting in the way that the salvation is manifest here. We know that it is about salvation because Jesus says so. So this isn't like, well, you've really found some crazy insights here. That's not what I'm saying. But when Jesus is talking about salvation, let's think about what that actually means here. So let's go through this together. Welcome to Jericho. So if you remember last week, he was on his way to Jericho when he bumped into that blind guy. Now he's made it to Jericho, and it's interesting because we see, and behold, there's a man named Zacchaeus. And when we see words like behold in Scripture, that usually indicates, sometimes we'll see things like that, meaning like, now pay attention, right? Or it could also just be like surprisingly, perhaps. We're not really sure what this is, but here it doesn't just say there was a man named, we see, and behold. Where the mystery that gets unfolded a little bit is kind of the sentence after. And behold, there's a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So, like, now pay attention. Here's a guy named Zacchaeus, and everyone nods. He was a chief tax collector, and in this time period, they've been like, ooh. You know, like when the crowd, like the class says, someone needs to come to the office, you hear all the other kids, ooh, he's a tax collector. Ooh, and he was rich. Ooh. So we don't like Zacchaeus. That's the stage that's set here. He's a tax collector, not a friend of the people. He was also very rich. And then we see that he isn't a tall man, but he wanted to, and this is right here in Scripture, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Down in front. Anybody ever heard that? It's always a running joke in our family that someone just gets up in a seat for 2 seconds. Down in front. This is Zacchaeus. He wants everyone down in front. They're not going to. So he runs ahead of the mob of people. He's too short. He can't see over the people. He literally just wants to lay eyes on Jesus. He climbs a tree. Jesus passes by where Zacchaeus is. We can assume that Zacchaeus can now see who Jesus was. He's in the tree. We're assuming that he's seen. There he is. That's the guy. But before we see anything about what Zacchaeus thought or said, we hear Jesus say, stop, look up, and call out to Zacchaeus. Come here, Z. He tells him to get out of that tree. Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. You know, Leah mentioned a tone of urgency there. It's exactly right. Hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today. This is happening right now. Don't take your time. I'm not going to see you later in the day. You got to come here. We got to go. So Zee clambers out of the tree, excitedly comes to Jesus' direction. I think I have this on the slide, but I'm not going to spell out Zacchaeus 100 times. Right here. Behold, a man named Zacchaeus. Let's call him Z. All the Z's in my sermon notes are Zacchaeus. His name is notoriously hard for me to spell, and the spell checkers don't even know what to do with it. So I just shortened it to Z so that we don't have to look at me spelling Zacchaeus and Zarkoff and all kinds of nonsense. So anyway, Z clambers out of the tree, comes to Jesus, and notice the sarcasm tag. Everyone was so happy to see Z get this opportunity, right? Wrong. You have got to be kidding me. You can almost hear it, right? Think of somebody, and it's easy to do. I know we come to church like, oh, I don't think of anybody like that. We all do. We all know somebody that we don't care for very much. Maybe they don't treat us or other people very well. We're not sure how to remediate their life. We're not sure what to do about it. And we love and we pray for them, but we don't really care for them that much because we don't think they're that good of a person. This is how everybody felt about Zacchaeus, but maybe more so. Not happy, and they begin to grumble about it. When they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Now notice who they're talking about here. It's Jesus that they're calling out. They're not really calling out Zacchaeus as a sinner, right? Zacchaeus is probably very well aware of how the people feel about him. He's a tax collector. He's very rich. But what they're getting kind of bummed about is that Jesus is willing to spend time with this guy. Why would Jesus be going to a sinner's house? But I'd like to think, hearing them grumbling about his sin, even though they're not saying, this guy's a sinner, he's like, yeah, I know. But they're saying, why would Jesus hang out with a sinner? And we see that Z begins to explain his repentance and his following. It seems, based on this, that Z knows, quote, who Jesus was and already has been busy about this. This is a point of debate. We could say that's not true. He really wanted to see him, had no idea what was going on. But the first thing that we see Zacchaeus say, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Not what I'm going to do after having seen you is give half my stuff away and then fix all these things. The tense is very clear in the scripture. Half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. I am about this right now. Which is basically the boy, I'm not that guy. They're telling you that I'm a sinner. They're questioning why you're coming to a sinner's house, but I'm telling you, I'm not that guy. I'm giving half my money to the poor. I've already been repenting of fraud. I know I've defrauded somebody, and I'm restoring fourfold what I defraud them of. Fourfold. Now, it's arbitrary, whatever else, but this is a pretty big deal because I'll bet you other people, the crowd that's grumbling, isn't doing this. And now we don't see any more no more mention of the crowd. No mention of the crowd at this point. I'm sure if they heard Zacchaeus say this, we're like, well, you know, we'll see about that. And then Jesus kind of comes with an attaboy here. Today, salvation has come to this house. Jesus points out what being a son of Abraham is all about. We see that mentioned here. Now, he would have been a son of Abraham genealogically. We probably could trace that back through. But what Jesus is really saying here is, you're following what I'm doing. You are heeding the advice of Scripture. You are doing the work that is commanded of someone who claims to be a man of God. That is how you become a son of Abraham. And then he closes with, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Now this is very apt to talk about to Zacchaeus, but also to the crowd that's grumbling. Why are we going over to his house? Why are we going over here? Why are we going over there? He's a sinner. That shouldn't be. Well, we got Jesus saying, well, that's my entire purpose is this. I'm not here to come and just celebrate endlessly with people who already believe. I'm here to seek and save the lost. So, points to ponder. The sermon title, Draw Me Near, is a song we just sang. It's a Caveman's Call song. I thought it was very apt here because we see a lot of closeness between Jesus and Zacchaeus. Drawing near to Jesus means seeking him by any means. However you got to get to him, however you got to position yourself, if you're going to draw near to him, this is going to be something that drives you. Whatever it takes, you want to find him. Drawing near to Jesus means following his teaching and command. You probably saw on our church socials this morning, we Mike shared a graphic that talked about a full life in Jesus requires our obedience. It depends upon it. And it's not because, well, if I don't follow his teaching and command, then I'm good enough and I have to do it. But the reality is, if I want to draw near to him, we need to do it. I need to do something. The Lord's going to be helping me. Just like when he's seeking him, the Lord's given me the mobility to climb a tree. And when I want to follow his teaching and command, I need that too. But I've got to make decisions to do it and not ignore his teaching and command. I'm never going to draw near to Jesus by doing the things that Jesus said don't do and just relying on him to save me, which he may well do. And that's because drawing near to Jesus means repenting of your sins. Following what he is telling me to do here, that's great. But repenting of my past sins, that's another thing. It does require us to repent. We do want to do that. Zacchaeus talks about it here. And then finally, we see that the bullet four is drawing near to Jesus means Jesus drawing near to you. There is no hope of me just clambering up to Jesus and him saying, well, I guess, you know, you wore me down, so get into heaven, you rascal. You know, you wouldn't stop dogging me. But let us never be not dogged about following Jesus. This fourth bullet is for us to take comfort in knowing that Jesus, just like the scene here, and I'm going to make this case, Zacchaeus knew who Jesus was before he saw with his eyes who Jesus was. And that's because Jesus moves first. As usual, you know, Leah just sniping like a perfect shot here through the passage of Scripture. I didn't quote, but it was, draw near to the Lord and he'll draw near to you. Yeah, guess what? When the Lord draws near to you, you draw near to the Lord. That's one of those few things that I believe is reflexive. These are happening at the same time. I'm only able to draw near to the Lord because he draws near to me, and that should bring me peace. That I'm not going to let, he's not doing everything he can, and I'm just letting him down, and he's heartbroken. When God wants you, he's going to get you. Well, what we desire to do is to really get after him, you know, fourfold, if you will, to make up for the things that we've done wrong. So let's go through these together. Drawing near to Jesus means seeking him by any means. Frankly, this part of the story is quote-unquote easy preaching, right? I'm going to seek him by any means. I'm going to climb a tree just like Zacchaeus, right? I'm going to do that. What it takes to get eyes on Jesus because he's my Savior and I love him. Yes, true. Seek Jesus, climb trees, do whatever you need to do. Whatever barriers set between you and Jesus, to overcome them. You know, well, I got family members, I got friends, I got commitments, I got lifestyle choices. Easy preaching. I can come up with a long list of things that the world offers that aren't as good as Jesus, and we could just keep doing this every Sunday forever, but there's more to Scripture than this. This part of the story, what we see is, if you have questions, just like Z did here, come and see who Jesus is. Now, we know, unlike Bible, this time he wants to see who Jesus was. I'm not trying to get lost in the tents. Jesus was there in person. He wants to see who he is. We can still see who Jesus is. He is alive today, just as he was at the time here. I mean, obviously, he's now been resurrected. But if you've got questions, get answers. Z had questions. Z wanted to see who he was. I want to see this person that's changed my lives and the lives of others. A desire to draw near, if you really want to draw near to God, that desire will drive your effort to do so. If you don't want to draw near to God, then you will have no desire to do that. You'll put no effort into it, and you will not. It's very simple. This is easy preaching. This could be an entire sermon, and that's totally okay. But a lot of times, in the sermons I heard growing up, where I would get stuck here, I was like, well, I don't know what to do. Where's my tree? Where's my binoculars? What am I missing? What's the hurdle that I don't see? Because I either in the story want to be Zacchaeus or I want to be Jesus. I don't want to be the crowd. You know, I don't want to be the guy. And let me tell you what the big difference here is. If you're struggling with this, you want to draw near to Jesus, okay, I'm going to seek him. What does that mean? Now let's talk about what it means. Drawing near to Jesus means following his teaching and command. I want to seek him by any means. Here's a good way to do it. What did Jesus say to do? Can I do it? Will I do it? Lord, help me do it. Others encourage me to do it. Hold me accountable for it. This too is also pretty straightforward. Look at this. This is also pretty straightforward, folks. Lots of emphasis. Man, I tell you, I don't know who edits these, but they did not do a good job. The crowd knew Z and didn't care for him, right? They know who this guy is. They know what he's up to. I cannot believe. Of all the people out here walking along, you're going to pick that guy out of the tree. But Z, when he gets to Jesus, confesses that he is straightened up. I'm giving half my stuff away. I'm restoring things fourfold. Not to earn this. Jesus didn't call out to him and say, "Hey, Z, what have you done lately? You're pretty rich. What's going on?" "Oh, well, I give half my stuff away. I'm going like four times." "All right, come down." That is not the order of operations. It might seem subtle, but it's a big deal. "Come here, Z." Why? Of course, Jesus already knew. Of course he did. He's Jesus. Z is here to say, "I am straightening up." Zacchaeus knows what is going on. "I know who you are. I know why I'm here. I know what you've done for me. Here's what I'm doing for you. Here's the least I could do. I'm not earning this. I've already got it." Zacchaeus already knows who Jesus is. I'm convinced he's already saved in this scene. Jesus has moved first. Now Z gets a chance to show up. Drawing near is far easier if you're following your target. If you want to follow Jesus, you want to stay close to his teaching, you want to be in his word a lot, it's going to be far simpler to draw near. If you ever watch spy movies or whatever else, someone's like, "We're going to tail this guy," right? And you'll hear things like, "Don't get too close," or they'll know you're there. And we don't have that problem with Jesus. You can get as close as you want. But if you get too far away, they can lose you, right? So what you don't want to be doing here is following Jesus so tacitly, so distantly, that if a train crosses between you, you might lose sight of him for a very long time. That's on you. "But Chris, I thought Jesus was sovereign. He's going to reach out." Absolutely right. But you still have an ability to follow him as you see fit. And what we see is Jesus here telling us, explaining to us through all of his teachings how to follow him. You say you want to follow me? Well, then here's how you're going to do it. You're going to follow me. Remember the rich young ruler Mike talked about? Sell everything. Why? Because he wasn't interested in seeking Jesus by any means. He wanted to seek it by his own means. He was interested in not following all of his teaching and commands, but just a few, the ones that were easy, already taken care of for him, ones that weren't a struggle. And that leads us to this point. Drawing near to Jesus means repenting of your sins. Following Jesus means repenting of your sins. He calls us to do that in following. Not that we follow Jesus into repentance, because Jesus doesn't require repentance, because he's Jesus. But he told us to do it, so we do it. But this is a big part of this. What we see here in Z, when he gets a chance to speak to Jesus, what he says is, "Yes, I'm a different person. I'm doing things differently, and I'm also making my past errors wrong. I didn't just start today and say it's good to go." Now, this is a slippery slope because we're not all Zacchaeus. We don't always have a laundry list of things like this. We might be in struggle. But this is where we need the Holy Spirit to illumine us once again to understand what it is that we need to go about fixing. What bridges have we partially burned that we can go back and rebuild? Who can we say I'm sorry to? And how can we try to restore them? Not just for the sake of earning another thing, and Jesus says, "Okay, you've said you're sorry enough, that's it." But I want to be I am a representative of Christ to them, and I want to be a light. Now, this is tougher stuff. This is stuff that I can't just put up. This isn't easy preaching anymore. "Hey, is Jesus better than swimming pools? Yay! Is Jesus better than..." No, this is what's going on in your life. And I don't even care or necessarily want to know. By that, I mean, you don't need to tell me. You need to go tell somebody else. Zacchaeus here shows that he was convicted, that he has wronged, defrauded people. He hurt people for a living with the blessing of the government to do so. And Zacchaeus says, "That's enough. Lord, half my goods I give to the poor." This means he's committing half his income, half of everything that he is, to the poor. "I've got $1,000, they get $500. Also, out of that other $500, it's now mine. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. So I'd swindle this guy to $20, he gets $80 from me." Zacchaeus is going to be broke in no time. I don't think he cares. Because what he's going to do is take all these things, all these ill-gotten gains, all this position, he's going to correct as much as he can. As much as he can. In the world, of the world, being here, doing the work. This isn't a spiritual thing. It's not he's giving fourfold the blessings and back. This is simple arithmetic. I have harmed people by my decisions prior to knowing who you were and who I am in you. And today, I know better, and going forward, I'm going to be doing something about it. I'm going to be treating people right from the get-go now. Yes, that's true, Lord, but also, I'm going to go back and try my best to fix that which I can. Will I get them all? No, he will not. If you try to repent of all your sins, you will not do it. There will be some that you will forget about. There will be sins you don't even know you've committed. The repentance does not save Zacchaeus. It is because of his salvation that he is able to repent in this manner. Trust in that. If you read this, think, oh my gosh, if I start even making a list, I mean, I'm going to spend the rest of my life listing it out. You and me both. I don't know that Zacchaeus had enough records or time to go back through and fix all this. This is an enormous... What he is espousing to do here is an incredible thing. Don't miss this. I'm going to fix it all fourfold. How? Well, till I'm broke, till I can't do it anymore. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to fix the harm that I've done at the beginning of my life. And I'm doing it because you have saved me. And if they ask me why I'm doing it, I'm going to say because Jesus saved me. It's not about earning good grace. He's already saved. If you're repenting because Jesus has changed your life, then you're already saved. He's already done the work. The sins have been paid for. We repent because he told us to do it. And if we can make it right, other people will be changed by that. Yes, he is also correcting his past errors, but he's lavishly righting the wrongs. Fourfold back is a very interesting number. I'm not saying everybody's got to do fourfold. I'm not saying that. But what he is saying is the heart. I want to bless them three times the damage I caused them. So now not only am I making it right, but they had to live without that for a while. Who knows what happened in that meantime? I'm going to make it three times better than it was. Why not 30 times better? I don't know. But three times sure beats nothing. So that's the decision he's made. And my last point here is that drawing near is really only possible if you shed dead weight. If you're trying to clamber up to Jesus and you're carrying a whole bunch of sins around, you're living with him, you're doing nothing about him, you're not trying to fix this, you've got a wake of disaster behind you, and you're not ready to set this stuff down, and I'm not ready to say I'm sorry yet, and I'm not ready to be forgiven or forgive or whatever it takes, I can't bring myself to do it, good luck staying on Jesus' heels. You are going to be, those burdens are heavy, and Jesus' yoke is light. These phrases in the Bible aren't happenstance. It's all about this journey and this walk. There's a reason the Bible uses this language so much. It's easier for us to understand. If what I want to do is pursue Jesus, then I'm going to be doing everything I can. I want to get rid of everything that's not going to accelerate me towards him. But thankfully, there is this last bullet. Drawing near to Jesus means Jesus drawing near to you. Zacchaeus only bothered to climb that tree because he already knew who he wanted to see. You think a fan of Taylor Swift or whatever, when they climb a tree, it's because they have no idea who it is. What's all that crowd doing over there? Let me go climb a tree and see. There's probably some degree of that where it's just like, it must be something exciting and I want to see what it is just so I can be in the middle of this business. But here what we see is it says he wants to see who Jesus was. He knows who Jesus is to him. He's already begun some life change. He's already made some decisions in this space. Seems pretty evident, right? What we see here from Zacchaeus is if he is here, I want to see him. Even though I know him, I've never seen him with my eyes, and I want to. He's aware of the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus knew him. Jesus walks by, looks up, calls him down. Just like that. Jesus walked up to him, up to the tree, and then said, come down. Zacchaeus didn't push his way through the crowd, didn't bully his way there. I don't know if it would have worked or not. But if we're going to see ourselves as anything here, this is a pretty good example. We are incapable of getting to Christ on our own. You are incapable of getting to Christ on your own. Christ is going to come to you first. And then you're going to run to meet him. He's going to say, get out of that tree. Get out of that tree. Come down here and meet me. So what about us? I don't think this is a tale of a skeptic. I've always heard it preached this way, that Zacchaeus was like, I'm not sure about this guy. I'm going to climb that tree and put my peepers to watch. Yeah, he seems good. No, I don't think that's the case at all. This is a tale of a follower wanting to see for himself the person of Christ. I believed in Jesus for a long time. But if I heard that Jesus was walking down Morgan Street, I'm going to probably go out there. Maybe climb a tree, a sturdy tree. But I want to see him. I want to see him. The reality is we're not going to see Jesus walk under our tree. I don't expect to see Jesus walking down Morgan Street anytime soon. If he does, it's going to be a little different than this scenario, right? Things are going to be cracking and breaking underneath him, governments on shoulders, so on and so forth. But we will see him eventually. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to have this problem anymore, but there's going to be the same desire about, I want to see him. I want to see him. Let me get in a tree. Let me get over here, climb to a mountain. Whatever it's going to take, I want to see my Lord and Savior. Most of us want Jesus to come to our house just like Zacchaeus does. If you ask, do you want Jesus to visit? Yeah, that'd be great, but, right? And there's a lot of buts in this sermon, right? Yeah, that's true. I'm using a lot of buts here. The story is full for me of easy to grasp concepts. Oh, you want to find Jesus. You want to say that you're sorry. You want to do things this, that, and the other. But I think it's woven throughout with this far deeper meaning. And it really starts with Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus, and that starts from God. When we look at this passage and we find ourselves, oh, I'm nowhere near where Zacchaeus was. I don't desire to see Jesus that much. I don't want to climb a tree. I wish I had the drive that Zacchaeus did to do whatever it takes, but I don't. That begs this question. Why did Z bother if he already knew Jesus? Why would Zacchaeus care to see him if he already knew him? Why would he climb a tree? Why would he be excited that Jesus is coming to his house? Why would he be excited to hear that salvation is coming to his house today? And I present to you Calvary Heights. Every Sunday, we climb into this place to see Jesus. We know him, we love him, but we still want to see him. We read the same words that have been read for 2,000 years, studying people that have already figured out what they ought to mean and understanding what they mean biblically. And we do it again, and we talk about it again. And can you remember what he looked like? The same kind of thing here. And when he invites us in, we tell him once again, hey, these are the things I'm committed to do. I'm trying to do better for you. I'm trying to repent. I'm trying to sort it out. And Jesus says, things to us like in the midst of our despair, when Z's bringing this up, maybe ends in with a question mark, I'm restoring it fourfold. And he says, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus is all about. And now that Jesus has gone to sit at the right of the fire, that's what we are all about. We get to see him through his word and the work of his church. We now have come to seek and save the lost. That's what we are doing. We are seeking out. We are streaming live. Our door is open on a Sunday. We are looking for lost people that need to know the truth. And then we want to save them. Now, do I save them? No, but I pray for them, and the Holy Spirit often does. That's just one of those things. That leads us to the call to action. If you don't know Jesus, you do now. I've just told you a whole bunch about him. Reach out to us with questions. If you got questions about this, like, I don't understand that, I'm confused, I don't get it, let us know. Reach out. If you know Jesus, don't stop climbing and following him. Bear in mind what Zacchaeus was up to, the willingness he was to pursue, to see his Savior. And then when his Savior drew near, he effectively confesses his sins, vows to repent, and Jesus says, salvation's coming to your house today. If you want help scouting for him, come join us as we seek him always. If we do nothing else on a Sunday morning, we are looking for Jesus. We are looking for him in the Word. Every time we preach from every book of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the target of that scripture. That is exactly who we're pointing to, and that's what we're looking for. But lastly, if you feel like you missed him, if in this story you maybe relate to a person that isn't mentioned, that didn't know Jesus was coming by, and they see the tail end of the crowd and the dust settling, and they feel like, oh no, I've missed my window. I had to work late. I had a good excuse, but I just wasn't here in time. You're mistaken. You have not missed Jesus. He's still here. He's alive right now at the right hand of the Father. He has done everything. All preparations are completed for salvation to come to your house today. It is not too late. If you are hearing my words, that is grace from God to you, not because of me, but because the power of his scripture, the truth of the work of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenges of your word. I thank you for the comfort of your word. I thank you for us being able to see you in the word. We see you living as the word and now being fulfilled by the word. Lord, it's incredible. We're thankful that you are not a distant God, that you are not aloof, you are not far from us. You draw near to us. If we draw near to you, you draw near to us. You draw near to us if we don't draw near to you. Lord, so many promises about closeness and nearness and relationship and love and care. Help us to remember that. And like Zacchaeus, to seek to see you wherever we can, in any way that we can. But to know that to see you is to draw near to you is to love you, and to love you is to follow you, and to follow you is to do things that the world's going to find bizarre, like commit to helping our fellow man and repenting and not living a life of abject self-service, but rather one of self-sacrifice, Lord. Thankful for this time together. Thankful for this church that we can climb up into proverbially, Lord, and look for you every single Sunday. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.